in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my trailer-watching Star Wars friend. It's Frank. How are you today?
Tim, your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them.
Indeed. Yes. Other things that Jedi say, but say over and over again over hundreds of years. Yes, indeed. Yeah. That's why they got in trouble, Frank, because they keep saying the same thing, but nobody actually listens to their own advice.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the deal. Anyway, Frank, we're here to talk about Star Wars, The Acolyte, the trailer that dropped pretty recently as of, well, today, tomorrow, next week, yesterday. What is time? And so
recently,
yes, recently.
Indeed.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. But first, Frank, you're going to tell me what you're drinking. What are you drinking?
I'm kicking back with a Corona, my dude. I'm just enjoying a Corona. You know,
what's
just
wrong with a good
just
Corona?
one of those nights.
You know, did you? I remember when COVID was coming around. And people were like, don't drink Corona.
Coronavirus.
And their stock fell. And I remember going out with some colleagues before the world shut down. Like, they were like, go home. The world shut down. I'm like, well, we're going to go out one last time for 2 weeks. And then, but we had Coronas. I'll remember this. Like, we were like, we're doing it. It might be in this beer, but we don't know.
I saw you the day before that.
Did you? Really?
We met up at a Panera.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's right.
It was a day or two before that. You were the last person I hung out with.
Yes. I did know that you were the last person that I hung out with, like, that were not, like, work people.
Apart from work people, yeah.
Yeah. But I had completely forgotten about the Panera.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when that was. Because I was just used to not. I'm so, like, I was used to, like, the filtered dad, like, I don't hang out with anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what is time? Frank, I am drinking a Shipyard pumpkin, which is completely out of season, but it's delicious all the same. So I don't really care. Something really defined, speaking of like defiance, is really something like defiant about drinking a beer off season.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you have stouts in July. Like, just like,
feels. See?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's just nice. Like, it's just, that's really just all nice. It is like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, it's not seasonal, but I'm enjoying it. It's a little taste
time,
of
though,
winter or
if
whatever.
I'm like outside and it's like a slightly cool summer night. You're by a fire. Stout's way to go. Like, I don't
want
a light and crisp at that point. I only want the light and crisp if it's hot out.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like when we go up to camp, which is what us New Englanders say, when we go up to hang out by a lake, like in the sun, absolutely. I'm having like a PBR.
Sure, absolutely, right. Yeah. Do you like PBR?
Does anybody like PBR?
No. Okay.
Okay.
I feel like that's the answer I needed to, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yes, of course, the king of all beers.
Like, hey, it won a blue ribbon for a reason.
Yeah. By who? Who gave it that ribbon?
It was a very prestigious award.
It was won. It's on the can.
150 years ago or something.
It was on the can. the lost art of ribbon folding. We don't know how they did it. Like, we can't do that again.
Can't. Yeah.
Incredible. Speaking of things that were lost and are found again, Star Wars, The Acolyte, a show that's coming out June 4th, dropping two episodes, takes place, like, what I think it's like 80 years before Phantom Menace, I think, I suppose, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes place during the era of the High Republic, where the Sith are not a thing, where the Jedi fight pirates. and so forth, but this show is supposed to be about the reemergence of the Sith in some, or like some particular fashion, because yes. Like, as we know, Mace Windu is very clear about whether the Sith are back or not, and he's like, they're not. Like, we would know, everyone, if they were back.
Settle like, down. We would know. It's fine.
We
it's
would
fine.
Know. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And so I am looking forward to this. Yes. I do know that the showrunner should Russian Doll on Netflix. Is that the show?
I believe so.
Yeah. She said that, like, they like wanted a show from the perspective of the Sith, or from the perspective of the villains. Lucasfilm did. And she said, oh, well, you should do the when they're outnumbered, like during the High Republic, because that would be like they're technically the underdogs.
Sure.
So it'd be it's easier to root for the underdog even when they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite insightful. And that was enough for me to be like, oh yeah, man, I'm doing it. Like,
Coming from Leslie Headland.
That's her name. Thank you.
I think because I really enjoyed Russian Doll. And I feel like the success of Andor makes me feel like a show from a creator like her could really, really be a big hit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Especially one that is like we dance around the Jedi a lot at Lucasfilm, like since the saga is the sequel trilogy is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Ahsoka was like our first like real like entry point again into Jedi. And so but like I when it's like here's one Jedi and another Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
This is like here's seven Jedi with their yellow lightsabers.
Yes.
You know, and we're just going to have a good time. I'm very excited.
There's a couple of things. So I got excited about this show exactly 9 minutes ago.
Okay.
Before 9 minutes ago, I was like,
2 minutes for you to watch it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Before 9 minutes ago, now 10 minutes ago, I didn't really understand what this show was about, other than like what I had heard when it was announced, but I didn't really have a good picture in my mind's eye of what it was about. But now seeing a trailer, I'm like, okay, now I see it, now I get it, and now I'm excited about it. I'm very excited about it. Very suddenly.
Now, what's interesting about this trailer is that we know that the show is supposed to be from the perspective of the Sith or bad guys with the dark side, whatever, Dark Jedi. But, like, they're not the focal point of the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And they're not our point of entry characters. So, is it an interesting way to cut a trailer in a show, because, like, they're showing us the thing we know. Right, we know Jedi, we know Padawans, and they're like, and the Master is talking to them. That's Master Sol, for those of you who are keeping track, S-O-L. Mm-hmm. I watched it with closed captioning on, and it told me a lot of information. For instance, that's Master Sol, the guy that he talks to that's like, I saw darkness, or I saw evil, or I saw whatever that guy said. It said that he was a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I guess that thing we saw just before we saw that guy is a prison. Like,
there you go.
See, it's things like that you learn from closed captioning. It's called spoilers, Frank. You learn spoilers.
Well, spoilers or useful insights.
It's true. Well, sometimes closed captioning can be like, Joe dies.
Oh, yeah, and then it can. Goes yeah, off it does.
Or whatever, and you're like, oh, no.
It will sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen it where like it will say someone, a character's name, when you're not even supposed to know who that is yet.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, well, now, but I know who it is. So
Liam Neeson shows up on screen in Batman Begins and it's like Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Yes. Like exactly that kind of thing.
You're like, you messed it.
I have had that happen. So,
Yeah. You messed it up. What were some of the things that stood out to you in this trailer where you were like, ooh, I would like to know more about that one, please?
Yeah. Okay. So I the Wookiee honestly.
Jedi Master Kanaka, I think his name is. I'm not looking. I looked it up earlier.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it now, but I'm pretty sure it's Jedi Master Kanaka.
Okay.
A great Wookiee name if there ever was one.
Yes.
He's an Akka.
All I remember, I remember hearing that it's Jonas, the guy who plays Chewie.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I forgot about that, actually. Yeah. I like that guy. Glad he's
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm.
Glad he's playing a Wookiee again.
Yes.
I guess.
He is the like successor to Peter Mayhew in so many ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's one shot of a green Jedi. I don't know if you saw her or not. She is in the High Republic. Hold on, I'm actually going to use my one lookup for this.
Okay. Wow.
Because it's important.
Well, that seems worth it. While you're looking that up, I was excited by a lot of the casting. Actually, like, you know, we mentioned Jonas, but like, Master Sol is from Squid Game, and
oh, is,
you know,
he?
Yeah. And you have, you know, Carrie Ann Moss. I'm excited. Manny Jacinto from The Good Place. Mm-hmm. So there's some really, really great names attached to this. Obviously, Leslie Headland at the top, running the thing.
Carrie Ann Moss, I wasn't listening.
Carrie Ann Moss, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got a great Don't Mess With Me face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like the eyebrow arc is just like, it's top notch. Oh my gosh.
But I do like that entry point of like, it's like the trailer is literally saying, you know this story, but we're going to tell you that story over there. Like, literally, the trailer is directing you as to like, hey, here's the part you're familiar with, mm-hmm. but this is actually a story about that shadowy figure way up there on that on that rock.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Come on. What's his name? Oh my gosh. Don't tell
Darth
me.
Maul?
No. No. Have you ever heard the tale of
Obi-Wan?
Jedi Master
Sifo? Oh, Sifo Dyas. Yeah.
Sifo Dyas was around.
Were the clones.
For the clones. So this is too far away. No, my gosh. Palpatine's master.
But what if it's Sifo Dyas is alive, but he hasn't done that yet?
I mean, Yoda's alive. So it's very possible.
Yoda's alive, which but like, is Mace Windu alive?
I don't think so.
I don't know how long, you know, where he's from and how long people live there.
Years before the Phantom Menace, I think Mace Windu is just like a regularly aged person. So, like, he's in his 40s.
But what if he's not? We don't know that.
That's true. We don't know that. You're right. I don't know that for sure.
We don't know that he's
Darth
just a regular.
Plagueis. Wow.
Oh, Darth Plagueis. Yeah,
I don't know
sure.
Why you weren't helping me there at all.
I have ADHD.
You got distracted. You're looking too busy worrying about how old Mace Windu is in his age of rate.
A little bit.
But that's okay. That Green Jedi is Venestra Rowe, who is the youngest person to ever become a Jedi.
Oh.
She became a Jedi Knight when she was 15. And she also has a purple lightsaber, like Mace Windu.
Is she from Clone Wars? What's she from?
She's from the High Republic.
The High Republic.
Yeah,
okay.
So all these characters are, some of them, I think they're most of them are new to the show, except or to the High Republic. They're original to the show, except for her, where she's just a kid in what you follow as the High Republic now. But mm-hmm. she's clear, like, she's a full adult then. And she has a purple lightsaber, and she uses the Force to make it into a lightsaber whip.
Love that.
Yeah. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. I don't know. I do think that, like, I am excited to watch it, but,
yeah,
like, it did feel lacking to me in some way, and I can't exactly put my finger on why. I was kind of like, I'm excited, but, like, yeah, I'm excited. It might be because this is going to sound stupid. It feels like Star Wars.
It does feel like Star Wars.
And which is good, a good thing. I want it to feel like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's just like, I think it's more like, it's just the, what they showed me. They're like, here's a CD bar. Here.
Yeah.
Here are Jedi in the temple. And like, I have seen these things, especially CD bars, you know, quite frequently. And I just like, I just kind of like would like to see other things.
Sure.
Too. That would be. But I also understand it's a trailer and not a,
right,
a full thing. Like, you know, Andor showed me new things too, but it took, like, it didn't show me them in the trailer. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'm not like, I'm not going to be like, wow, there's just a whiteboard, you know, kind of show.
Yeah, sure.
Different or whatever, you know. Sure. I could say that after the show is completed, maybe, but I really don't think it's going to do that. So.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I do think they're going for a slightly more mature audience based on the first poster that came out.
Yeah.
Where, like, the lightsaber is the lightsaber hilt, but then like the light itself, the blade is a streak of red blood.
Yeah.
Like that was a rather intense.
It is
Star Wars.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
Even just in the, like, yes, it's obviously it's like, oh, blood. Like that's like a, you know, there's that, but then there's also, like that would just go over kids' heads, you know, like it's, mm-hmm, it's really squarely targeted at, like, this is for the grown-ups.
Yeah, but you know, Andor is for the grown-ups, and
exactly,
you know,
exactly,
like that's,
yes,
that's okay. I think they know their audience is a little bit older now,
yes,
you know, which is fine. But the problem with that is that, like, I do think, like, Star Wars is for kids. Like,
yeah,
that was like the genius of George Lucas, that he, like, he never really lost sight of that. Like,
yes,
it is for kids. Like, and like, that's why it took 20 years for people to, like, people, adults, to be like, no, the prequels, I liked them.
Yeah.
They were kids when they saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the same thing is going to happen with the sequel trilogy. They're going to go like, no, I liked them because they saw them when they were kids. And it's just going to keep going like that. So if Lucasfilm or Disney, like, actually does feed into the, like, it's for adult crowd too much, they are actually going to lose what makes Star Wars special, is that it is available for the next generation.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. I do think that it's essential that that is preserved somewhere. And I think that personally, I think it's okay to have extensions of the universe that are more adult in nature, as long as the core of it remains, you know, kid friendly.
Correct.
And I feel like Filoni and Favreau are really sort of spearheading that, because, like, that is still, you know,
that's core Star Wars,
preteen friendly, yeah, right? Like, that's still,
You can watch, I don't know, you can watch The Mandalorian, you can watch Ahsoka,
yes,
at age 8, 9, 10,
yes,
you know, like,
yeah,
there's, you don't have to worry about putting it on, mm-hmm, as a parent and going, ooh, I really didn't want them to see something like that.
Yes,
you know, which actually, and but in Star Wars proper, you actually in some ways do have to worry about stuff like that sometimes, like people, like, get dismembered,
sure, yes,
heads, like, all the time,
mm-hmm,
you know, like, whatever. So you do have to, there is, like, something in Star Wars you have to, like, know, like, well, it is still violent. They are at war,
right,
most of the time. And so it is cartoonish violence in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say there's no blood, but there's rarity of blood. Like, it, you know, apart, right, from episode four and one, is there blood in Star Wars? Because when Ponda Baba loses his arm,
yeah,
there's,
yeah,
blood on the ground.
That one I got. Which one is in...
And in episode one, when Obi-Wan slashes Darth Maul in half, there's a spray of blood. Blood that comes up.
Right. Revenge of the Sith must have some, no?
I don't think it does. I think people get bonked on the head and, you know.
Order 66, I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. It might just be those.
I think it's a bloodless movie.
Now, I think that,
sure,
we see Rey draw blood at some point.
Yes. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's also a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. because I'm like, I wasn't watching those movies with like that, well, sir, that in mind.
I mean, Ben gets stabbed in the stomach.
Sure. Yeah, but the, but do you see blood though? See, like that's really like, because like
I feel like we
stabbed.
See the,
like Obi-Wan gets stabbed. I mean,
we see the wound, Qui-Gon don't we? Gets
stabbed, and you don't see. There's nothing there.
We see the wound, don't we? Like when she heals it.
You do see the wound. That's true. I'll count that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I will count an open wound. The same way, like you don't see Luke's open wound when his hand gets cut off, right? You know,
right? You just so, see, yeah, you just see the stub, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, so three instances, like one per trilogy,
right, basically. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So anyway, so like there are instances where you could say, like, well, that's a little bit. That is a stylistic choice that is a little bit more adult. So I am curious how, like, not kid-friendly the Acolyte is going to be, but it, like, leads you to assume, based on that, more the poster than the trailer.
Yeah.
That it's not going to be. But I don't know. I don't know. It does look like it's going to be a good mystery. You know, like, it's going to be...
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of, if anything, it feels like it's going to be a lot of dramatic irony. Where like the audience is going to know something, and the some characters are going to know something, but the Jedi are going to be abysmally ignorant to what is going on,
which
is pretty par for the course for the Jedi,
correct?
Right? Because correct. It's supposed to be the start of their decline.
Yes, it's one of those situations where you know the outcome already. Like you know that they are going to.
We know the Titanic is going to sink.
Yeah.
And Mace Windu is going to be the guy that's like, this ship can't sink.
Yes, he's the one saying it's unsinkable.
Yeah, but is it? It is not.
I don't know.
As we know. And so I am curious, almost from like a political perspective on that, because I like, even when I was a kid, I liked the politics of Star Wars. So I would love to see the politics of the Jedi at play here, you know, because that was in some ways, even in episode one, that's part of the interesting thing is like, Qui-Gon not wanting to play politics with the council. And so he just goes and does his own thing, you know, and the negotiation that happens behind the scenes. Like I would like to see that when the Jedi are really in their heyday, not in the arrogant heyday. Right. Cause I think that's an important part to differentiate. Like the Jedi have reached the height of arrogance when we meet them in episode one.
And I would argue the heyday was over at that point.
Correct. And I think so this is the decline of the heyday.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the beginning of the end.
This is the beginning of the end, right? Smashing Pumpkins said it better than everybody. So
Shipyard Smashing Pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something there, Frank. You should be a marketer or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. I'm definitely curious to see more. Are you Star Wars'd out? Here's my next question. I say with like a Star Wars display sitting right behind you.
Yeah, I'd have to say no on that. Yeah. I'm Star Wars'd out.
That's the negative, Bob.
Yeah. I don't think so. But I will say this. I would have been a few months ago. I think that putting some breathing room between these shows, and admittedly I didn't watch Bad Batch, so there is sort of the, well, if you're watching Bad Batch, then you're going from one to the next.
It was so funny that you said that just the other day. I was like, right, that's a show.
I'll
be like, are there any ones about the politics of stormtroopers? I'll watch that one. And then there, I just, yeah.
It hasn't been for me so far, and that's not a, yeah, that's fine.
Well, I don't think you're alone there.
Like, yeah,
I don't really think it was for many people.
Mm-hmm. I know, but that's on. But I've taken some breathing room since Ahsoka, and I'm like, all right, it's been, I've had some time. I'm good. I'm ready for some new Star Wars in my heart now.
Yeah, I'm ready for some new Star Wars into my heart. Come flooding right in.
Yes, I stand here heart open wide, please. Mm-hmm.
I would like to know, in terms of the Acolyte, how much Daphne Keene has to play.
Oh yes,
in there, because she is she's in there. I can't remember her character name, nor will I look it up. But she was good in Logan. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm,
Here's the thing, though. I also want to go back to the showrunner in the interview, she said that there's a couple of legends things, like old like old school stuff, expanded universe stuff, that she was like, that she took for the show, because she said nobody told me I couldn't.
Nice.
So it's in there, because she's like, because she said, like, you know, people grow up on the movies and whatever else. She's like I grew up playing the games, like a lot of, like, doing the expanded universe and like the Knights of the Old Republic and the, let's say, like the tabletops, and like, she's like, that's where my
West End
Star
games.
Wars fandom is. So her sense of, like, Star Wars sensibility is like slightly different, which I like, because maybe it won't feel like a copy of a copy of a copy.
Yeah.
Right. Cause that's really what I'm concerned about, that it's going to feel hollow.
Mm-hmm,
that it's like, cause when people like do Star Wars instead of like taking the Jon Favreau Filoni approach, we're like, we're doing the things that influence Star Wars in Star Wars.
Sure.
Right. Cause that's like, that's when Star Wars is at its highest quality. Like, we're doing, you know, space adventure and samurai and Western and all Dirty Dozen and like all these different things. Like, that's more interesting than like your Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's because it's not what good Star Wars really is.
Yes. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I'm with you all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add, Frank?
Who do you think the mysterious shadowy figure we saw is?
I'm hoping it's Darth Plagueis. I don't think that it is, but that's what I'm hoping. That's who I'm hoping that it is. They're too short to be Darth Plagueis. So, like, I don't think it's actually that.
Too short to be a stormtrooper.
Too short for a stormtrooper. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Now here's my other thing. Like, 80 years before Phantom Menace.
Yes.
How old is Palpatine?
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's that.
Like, how old is he really? I don't know. I'm sure there might be an answer out there that the show will change. Here's the thing. Like, whatever information exists out there in a book or a thing, as soon as a new show comes out, it has the ability to change these things.
That's right. Yeah.
A new show or a movie ultimately drives the canon.
It supersedes anything. That's always been the case. They've always said, George always said that, like, sure, whatever, like, that stuff is whatever it is, but like, what I make is the canon.
Correct.
And I think that still holds true here.
Absolutely. If it's a show or a movie, then it counts. So I wouldn't mind if it's him either, because I do think that would be an interest. That's also an interesting entrance point for an audience, but I'm fine for it being somebody totally new too, that I'm
maybe
not connected to.
To me, it looks like Darth Maul. Like, it
you
looks
so?
Like Darth Maul to me. And that doesn't make sense in the timeline unless he's a lot older than we thought or whatever. But
it could be somebody from a Dathomir, though.
It could be another Dathomirian. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Why do you say it looks like Darth Maul?
Like, I mean, the stature, when we see him for the first time in Phantom Menace, right, he's wearing like those heavy robes, and yes, he has his hood up, but like when he takes it down for the first time, I think that shadowy figure on the cliff or whatever is kind of what his silhouette looks like. It even kind of looks like there might be like spikes on the head. I'm not saying for sure it is. I didn't use my one lookup, so I'm not looking at it side by side. I'm just doing this from memory, and it kind of resembles to me when I zoom in. Literally, I'm just looking at the YouTube clip and zooming in on it. It does look like him to me. So like that's what it looked like. But again, I don't know what the explanation for that would be. So it doesn't seem to make sense.
It could want to evoke those things.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, I think, like sometimes the Star Wars is like poetry, right? You know, the whole thing, like, it rhymes. So, like, it wants you to, yeah, it, it, it wants you to think of, maybe it wants you to think of Darth Maul, even if
could be
not what it is.
Could be. Yeah. Anyway, that's, you know, my mind started going there, but you know, Plagueis makes more sense. Plagueis or Palpatine makes more sense.
That figure is really, I'm looking at it now, that figure is really short.
Yeah, and so is Ray Park.
Oh, you got him.
No, it's true, though. That's true. He's a short guy. He's you know, amazing athlete and everything, but he's not a very tall man. And that's true of, you know, of his character, too.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Maul's not a super tall guy.
Spikes. Maybe it's a kid.
That'd be an interesting,
you know, maybe it's for Nestor Rowe. Who knows? Because they kind of look bald to me, but I don't know. Who knows, Frank? It's very interesting.
We'll find out.
I'm excited for it. June 4th. We won't talk about it then because we probably won't have watched it.
We'll wait till the season's over. Interesting that it's June the 4th, not May the 4th. I wonder if they were like shooting for a May release and couldn't hit it, or they wanted to give more space to, from the end of Bad Batch.
More closely related to the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or Disney Plus has something else that's coming around that
time.
They don't want, you know, things conflicting with one another.
Right. So. A Marvel show, maybe. I don't even know.
I don't think so. I don't think there's any Marvel shows coming.
Okay. Yet. Well, but yeah, you're right. It could be some other something else that they want to give space for. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Interesting.
But anyway, Frank, where can the people find us?
BeerWithGeeks.com, Patreon.com/BeerWithGeeks, and wherever you listen to your podcasts, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Oh, very good. Frank, a pleasure to talk Star Wars with you. Always. Always.
Always.
So anyway, the Force will be with you always. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.